Hello? Hello, everyone. Okay. This is the word. This is where it goes. Okay. Okay, I have a little story for you guys. It was 11:10 in the morning on this crisp autumn, or April morning, and, okay, Rachel had just gotten out of her last algebra class. It was just a normal, boring old school day, you know? But there's something different about today, but no one knew it yet. She got out of her last class, and she went to lunch. She was planning on a normal lunchtime, and so she went over to the hill where her and her friends usually sat and texted, like, OMG, LOL. Did you hear what he said about me last week? And stuff, stupid girl stuff that nobody understands or cares about. And so, so she's sitting over there, and there's this guy. His name is Daniel. And see, Daniel, he thought he was the main dish. He was the corn on your cob. He was the fried in your rice. He was kind of cocky, but he went over and followed Rachel to where she was sitting. Not a stalker, though. He kind of had a crush on her. And I would, too, because Rachel's a 10. And so he goes, staggers over there, and he looks at her and he's like, hey, babe, can I sit here? And she's like, yeah. And so she's sitting there, and they're just having the time of their lives, just talking to each other and just living life and talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everything's going good. Everything's going good. And then Daniel starts getting his lunch out, and he starts eating, and then all of a sudden, bam! Oh, Rachel sees as her friend Daniel falls dead right next to her. He's at lunch. You don't expect to die while you're eating your ham and cheese sandwich. So she's sitting there, and her friend gets shot. And she's wondering, what the heck's going on here? And what would you do if you're just eating lunch and your friend just all of a sudden gets shot right next to you? You know, I'd probably freak out. I would lose the sandwich, lose my appetite, start running, probably get shot in the process, and then I'd be dead. I'd probably die right there. But that's not what Rachel did. She just sat there. She just sat there. I just don't even see me. She sat there, and she looked as two of her classmates just came up to her and just stood right in front of her. They just stood there and glared at her. She didn't know what was going on because it was just school, right? It was just a normal school day. And first of all, these kids, you got to know them. They weren't just anybody in your class. They weren't Bob and Tom in the back of geometry. They weren't normal Joes. These guys were nerds. They were nerds. They were the guys who were made fun of since kindergarten. Nobody cared about them. Nobody had ever given them the chance of even the time of day. Nobody said, hey, God loves you. Or, hey, looking good today. Nobody said that. It was more like, you suck at life. But these guys were angry. Nobody knew it this whole time. At school, they're angry because people would make fun of them repeatedly. No hope, you know. And so these guys are just there in front of Rachel with their guns, their bombs, their ammo, everything you need to kill someone. It's just not good. And so Rachel sat in fear and watched them. And then they asked one simple question. And as they pointed their guns, because there were two of them, as they pointed both of their guns at her, she sat there, stared back up the barrel, and they asked, do you love Jesus Christ? Rachel stuttered for a second, like, it didn't come out. And she thought about her life, what her parents taught her, everything in the past. She looked across campus, and then she looked at the two guys pointing the guns at her. And she said, yes, I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. And then they shot her right there on the spot, right in the school where she went to every day and learned about the basics, you know, math and science. She died there. So that's the story of a Columbine High School student, 1997, Rachel Scott, who died for standing up for what she believed in. She died a martyr, a bold, fearless example of what a true Christian should be like. Like, she didn't, she knew, she, it was the last moment of her life. So, what matters in Rachel's life now, now that she's dead? She's in the grave. What's left? It doesn't matter what prom dress she wore last month. It doesn't matter that she could be a Guitar Hero on Expert and even beat Charlie Wicker over there. He's really good. But none of those things mattered. I'm not even sure that existed back then. Nothing mattered. All there was left was her relationship with Christ. That was it. So that makes you think, what really matters in my life? The whole purpose for us on earth is to have a relationship with God. He made us. He made Adam and Eve. We came from Adam and Eve, so He created us too. He created us all special. Like Daniel said last night, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. We were beautiful in His eyes. And so, when you're dead and gone, it really matters. For me, it's like, it's a stupid question. Like, should I have a relationship with God? Like, He created me. Duh. I want to have a relationship with God. You know, He's number one. That's what I learn in Bible class every day. But really, when it comes to it, it's hard for me to just love God without experiencing Him. And experiencing Him working in your own personal life. All you have to do is just open your heart up and listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what He has to say. And you can be that example to everyone else. It's a war out there. It's a war between good and evil. Good angel sits on this shoulder, the red one, you know, they're fighting all the time, throwing sarcastic bad remarks at each other. But really, it's your conscience. You gotta listen to it, to the Holy Spirit. You thought World War II is bad. You think Iraq is bad. It's going to get worse. Time in the end, honestly, is kind of exciting. I wouldn't say I'm scared. You know, I used to be scared. Like, people are going to come persecute me. Oh, my goodness. You know, I won't be able to eat or go to church. But really, does that even matter? I'm not even scared anymore. So, just open your heart and listen. I'm up here on the stage, of course, week of prayer. Some of you guys just voted for me. I don't even know why. But it's been a life experience. And that week of prayer time up there at the lake was just amazing. I opened up, listened, and then, like, I suddenly changed. I had never felt the Holy Spirit working in my life until I actually let Him come in. You gotta let your barriers just relax for a little bit. Don't worry about yourself. My creed for this year, for my life, is Philippians. This is the foundation for the word. Isn't that cool? It's found in Philippians 1:20. This is what I want for my life. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I've been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. For me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. So for UCA, pastors and priests and adults everywhere, they're losing hope in us. They're losing hope in our youth. They think, I'm not saying all, but you know, they just don't give us the chance that we need sometimes. So, I can't tell you what to do. You guys have to make this choice for yourself, in your heart, just in your room, or by yourself sometime, just pray and let the Holy Spirit guide you. And so, UCA, my title, you're probably wondering what that is. LOL 4C, what the heck? So it's a nerd. No, that may or may not be true. But LOL 4C, it stands for Live Our Lives for Christ. There are four or five little symbols you can just remember in your head through your little everyday life when you want to be that example, like Rachel on the hill, and you don't think anybody else listens and you think everybody's going to laugh at you. Or you might die. You know, just remember that. It's LOL 4C. Live our lives for Christ. And that's what I want UCA to be. So, thank you.
Do you want your back?